Tell you what, I think I'll have Greg Richard away a little bit more on a Monday because that means I get to saddle up with an hour, what will be an hour of Gardening Greatness with Judy Sharp. G'day, Jude.
How are you, Mark? Look, it's so great to be here sitting across the desk with a handsome man.
Where's he? He must be behind me somewhere. Now,
get serious, will we?
I'm being nice to you because I know you'll be nice to me today and not ask me, like, do I know the answer to this and that?
No, I'm going to be very good today, Mark.
All right, well, we'll see how we go. Lots of garden topics on the way and also your calls if you have a question for Judy today. We're with our first call today. G'day, Julie, top of the Central Coast at Wamborough. What's happening with your jacaranda, Julie?
Oh, my poor jacaranda. I went up and checked the trunk on it and it's got ants underneath the bark.
Ah, sounds like you might have borer, Julie.
No.
Yes, sorry. Is it a healthy jacaranda?
Yeah, it's a healthy jacaranda. It's just that we've seen all these ants underneath the bark and I've scraped away as much as I can.
Yeah, that's a big bit of an indicator that it is. So, look, what you need to do is find some tree and blackberry killer.
What have I got to do?
You've got to inject the tree.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a few things you can try, but don't try tree and blackberry killer, whatever you do. We need to find some borer.
Okay.
Tree borer kit.
Okay. Otherwise we're going to lose the tree, aren't we?
Probably. It's a slow process. I've got it in a standard rose at the moment, and I asked my son could he inject it with something for me because I couldn't reach it, and he said, Mum, give it up. So I'm not going to say that about your jacaranda, Julie. But see if you can find anywhere where you can buy something for borers.
Okay. I can't overdose it, can I?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Good.
But, you know, once we used to use a product called Roga, which was very good, but that's no longer on the market. So it's a case of go around the nurseries and see if you can find something that is indicative to borer.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Cross my fingers.
Yeah, and then you just inject it in and you plug the hole up. So you'll drill a hole and you can drill as many holes as you like. It won't hurt the tree. And then you plug the hole up after you've injected with soap to stop the fumes escaping.
Okay? Yeah, there's a crease in the jacaranda and that's where the ants seem to be.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, dig around, but I bet you'll find you've got sawdust in there.
Okay. Thanks a lot for that, Judy.
Okay. Thanks, Julie. Bye.
All right. Best of luck with everything. And like you said, Judy, fingers crossed, we don't want to give up on that tree, yes?
No. They're my favourite trees.
When you say a slow process, if nothing was to happen there, how long would you give it, the tree?
Well, say my rose, for example, you know, we pruned it back and only half of it shot. And I thought, oh, that's funny. So that's been a very short time, Mark.
Mm.
But a jacaranda, depending how old it is, it could take some time. But, you know, the ants might be having a ball on the sap that's leaking out.
Oh, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Nice free flowing food source for them.
Yeah. So we can only wish you luck on this one.
Some calls coming in which we're going to get to. And I know you're fired up, ready to talk to as many hunter-gardeners as you can.
Of course. Hunter-gardeners, no. We had a lady from Tweed Heads last week.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wowzers.
So you've got to broaden your outlook there,
so
Mark.
You're reaching many, many parts of the state.
Yes.
Almost Queensland.
Yeah, almost, yeah.
All right, so while we wait for some of those to come through, look, I know, Judy, we're sort of getting to that cooler part of the year, or at least the nights are starting to get a bit cooler and heaters and air conditioning turned up a little bit, maybe some fires soon. And how does that interact with our indoor plants? What are your thoughts there as the change of season hits?
Well, you know, I could ask you to help me on this one, Mark, but I won't do that today. Well, of course, what happens when you've got your aircon on? It dries everything out.
That it does do.
If you've got it on heat, which I've got mine on heat because my baby Arthur, the little puppy, I can't let him get cold. He hasn't got much fur. So, and I can't let me get cold either. So what I've been doing, Mark, is now that's happening, probably twice a week. So you go from once a week watering to twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
But also every second day I spray mine with a sprayer. You know what a spray, you know, just a mister.
Yeah.
A mister's the word, a mister.
That'll do.
I was hoping you'd come in on that then.
No. There's your plants, your story.
I'm not tricking you today. You go around and you mist everything about every second day, especially, Mark, if you've got maidenhair.
Okay.
Yep, because they dry out. The leaves aren't very thick at all.
So that's the key takeaway from this is as the seasons change, the heat that we have to put into the homes dries everything out. So
definitely
keep our plants front of mind.
Front of mind.
A different Mark now. Mark, you're in Musselbrook. You have a question for Judy. What's happening with you today?
Petunias. I've got a hedge that's going really good in some places, and in other places the leaves seem to have become sparse, and like the plant hasn't died, but the leaves have become sparse, and it's like no longer being a hedge as such. But it's not just happened to one, it's happened to several. Probably, I've planted over the years probably 600 of these things. And I'd have at least 100 of them that are struggling.
Right, Mark. So is that on a big property if you can plant 600?
Yeah, live out of town, yes.
Oh, right, okay. Like, yep, I'm just getting the picture.
We do have town water.
Yep.
I've got all of them on drippers.
Yeah.
And I know you can overwater them. I understand that. But I don't think I've overwatered them because some are going fantastic. They're thick and lush and fantastic. And others are just crap.
Mark, you know, it's enough to make a man cry. It really is when that happens. No, seriously now, let's get down to the problem. You need to look around the roots to see if you've got cockchafer. You know the white witchetty grub?
Yeah.
So around the roots, and if you've got a lot of them around the roots, you are in trouble.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I know. I have done digging in the property before, and I have come across the odd one, but I won't say that I've. I do know what you're talking about.
Right, okay. So if you've got a few, then you'll need to water carbaryl through the soil because you're not going to dig all those fritillaries up, are you? Going to get them stable. So if you've got the grub, well, then you'll do the carbaryl trick. But the other thing, Mark, you better check on is have you got borer in there anywhere? Can you see any sap coming out?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
I did wonder whether it was, the Mediterranean rust, because I did have a couple that the leaves went all spotted and brown and went all silly, and I've yanked those ones out and replaced them.
Right, okay. So you didn't treat the rust?
No, I chuck it out, get another one.
Gee, I'd like to be the nursery up there, Mark.
Oh, yeah, they're done all right out of me, I can tell you.
OK, look, can I ask you to ring us back next week and let me know what you found in the roots?
Yeah, right. Work, shift work, it can be, depends whether I'm rostered on at the next week, but, I'll definitely have a dig because what I've done different with some is I had an excavator at the time and I turned all the soil over and then packed it all back and then planted the trees. But in other areas, I've just dug the hole myself. I did wonder whether they were root-bound.
You're giving us more of a clue now, Mark. But, okay, we're looking at three different problems. So, actually, it's good you're not ringing next week. Ring the week after. I'm going to have a little break next week and you're going to have, you're going to have Scott Sharp on board.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Good luck with that, Mark. We'll wait till we hear from you.
Yeah, I've fertilised them. I've done everything. I just can't understand why some are going good and some are not.
No, well, it's a mystery, isn't it? But we're going to solve it for you, dear.
All right, we'll see. Good luck with everything, Mark. And fortnight duty might be enough time to sort of see a bit of change there.
Yeah, I think so. Whether they're all dying or we don't want 600 to die, Mark.
No, that's a hell of a lot, isn't it? 600. No. The number we want to die is zero.
Yeah,
Judy. All right, best of luck with everything, Mark. As we continue with Gardening Talk, back with Judy Sharp, who's been able to help out a couple of folks so far, Judy.
Yeah, that surprises me. You know, generally I'm useless.
All right. G'day, Beck at Madawi. Let's see if Judy can help you out. What's happening, Beck?
Hi, Beck.
How are you going, Judy and Mike? We've actually moved to Madawi about 12 months ago, and the property's lined with morayas, which have been getting their flowers and whatnot. But I needed to replace some that had died. So I've done that 12 months ago, and they're just not, nothing, they're not growing. So
right.
I'm not sure what I need to add. I've put some sea salt into the soil, but I haven't really, I've been more renovating than playing in the garden, but I just don't, I want to salvage them.
Okay, Beck, now, until recently, we had fairly dry weather, didn't we? Would you agree?
Yep.
And were you watering regularly?
Well, they sort of were left to fend for themselves for a while.
Right.
The previous owners didn't do anything to them, and we also get up in that area a lot of rabbits, which dig around the roots. So I've actually put wire around the roots and some extra soil, and that seems to stop the rabbits.
Yeah.
But I'm just not getting any growth.
Okay, right. So have you fed them with cow manure?
No.
They love it. They absolutely love it. And
I know my mother's going to say, I told you to do that.
So did she?
She did.
Oh, good on you, Mum. Well, you just go out there now and buy some cow manure or and get it around there pretty quick and water it in.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly those ones that aren't growing. But make sure, have you got grass growing up to them?
Yes, but I do try and trim, make sure when I'm doing the yard, I keep that at bay.
Right, okay.
Because they were strangling, the grass was all up through. It took me weeks to pull all that out so they could breathe.
Now, Beck, you've presented with a few problems there that you could have solved with your mum's advice.
Oh, okay.
But now let's get into it. Give us a ring back in a couple of weeks and see if, because you haven't got much growth time left now, but you have got some. When we get to June, everything will slow down.
Right.
But also
so just put the manure just straight on,
around and just
and
water
then,
it in. Yep.
Okay.
Not right up to the trunk, you know, around in a circle
round.
And yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And I'm assuming that'd be okay with a dog around. Yep, I guess
I don't think he'll eat much cow manure.
No, well, if he starts mowing, I know we have.
Well, okay, why don't we dig it in some?
Yep, no,
let's
that
do that.
Good.
Sound good?
All right.
Okay,
thank
and ring
you
your
very
mum.
Much for that.
Ring
yep,
your
I
mum
will
as soon
ring
as you get off air.
Tell her that. Judy said, and she'll say that's exactly what I told you to do.
Okay.
Also,
at
Beck,
88, I should still listen to her.
Also, Beck, did you like how Judy was sort of almost tactful by saying you could have saved yourself some problems by listening to your mum?
I know, I say that to my kids and they're looking at me right now. And listen to your mother and I'll do the same thing.
Okay.
All right, best of luck. See, Judy, we couldn't let that moment pass.
No, we couldn't,
yeah,
Mark. No,
kind of like,
definitely not.
If only, I told you so, all of that.
Yep.
4921 6216 if you have a question for Judy Sharp. There is still plenty of time for you to be berated, but ever so gently berated by Judy for your garden mischievousness. Judy, something you didn't get to talk about last week with Greg, but we have got a couple of moments just to kick back and discuss spring bulbs. All of that's important at this time of year. Why?
Well, Mark, I know where you put your spring bulbs.
You
put them in the freezer or the fridge. Now, you do that to preserve them because we are not really a bulb area like if you're in Canberra or the Snowies or Melbourne that's cold all the time. So why we
So it's really not going to hurt them in the freezer
and
the fridge.
No, not at all. No. And we do that to keep them, you know, in good order till you're ready to plant. But they need to come out of the freezer now, Mark. You'd be surprised the number of people that put them in and forget they're there. And of course,
yeah, that I would believe.
Yeah, and they pull them out and they think it's a piece of steak. You know, too late to plan. Anyway, so we've got to get them in the garden now, okay? Mm. And you've also got to use a good bulb fibre if you're putting them in pots. If you're putting them in the ground, that's fine. But in pots, they need a good bulb fibre.
All right, so a couple of things to keep in mind
there.
Yeah,
and I can see you going home to do that today, Mark.
It's not just the callers that you berate gently. I get a worse hit.
I didn't do that to you.
All right, so again, spring bulbs, a couple of things to think about there. Judy, something that will potentially affect our gardens a little bit, from tomorrow we're expecting a week or so of rain. And how do we sort of sweeten our gardens up after that rain, notwithstanding the fact that it has been a little bit over the last couple of weeks?
Now, Mark, a whole week again. Can you remember a few months ago we were saying, oh, it's so dry?
I know, right?
Well, what happens when we get that amount of rain? It leaches all the goodness out of the soil. So you've then got to sweeten your soil up again. That's a good word, is it?
Sweeten
your soil up again.
It's a good way to sort of make the fact that we've got to do some hard work just sound like nice.
Nice, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, well, you know.
Not fooling me. I know there's some hard work there.
Okay, so after rain, you get some handfuls of dolomite and put that around the garden. Now, if you've got a good lawn, what do you give the lawn? Uh-oh. I knew I was going to get that look. Okay, so we're going to put light doses of lime all the way around the lawn.
Okay.
Now, you can do that before this rain comes if you like, and then it saves you watering it in. But it's dolomite for the garden and lime for the lawns.
L. Yeah, LL. I love the idea of just get it ready now and let the rain just soak it in.
No, it is a good idea. But the problem is...
Straight off the cheat sheet, that one.
So tell me, Mark, weather forecaster, is it heavy rain we're looking for?
As I just open up the information, we look just rain, just showers, nothing. We're not looking at torrential big problems here, just a little bit of rain, a week of it.
Oh, right, okay. Well, maybe there's no urgency to go out and get that on the lawns and the gardens today. But after the rain's gone, we definitely would do it. Because I think by now, look, I looked at my roses and they are desperate for something at the moment. You know, and I mean, roses will bloom for a little while longer. You know, until about June when we start to prune them.
Mm-hmm.
We better not get off track here, Mark, because then we'll go into rose pruning.
Exactly.
But if anyone wants to ring about rose pruning, we'll answer them.
We will. Mm. All right, a couple of things to keep in mind there as we've come out of the rain. We've got some more on the way back. A couple of calls coming through, including you, Stan at Redhead. Stan, you've got a question on passion fruit vines for Judy, Stan.
Yes, I have.
Hello, Stan.
Hello.
Have we talked about passions before? I think we have, haven't we?
Well, not with me.
Oh, okay. It must have been someone else that sounds as charming. But
I live at the Redhead Gardens and I'm in an independent living unit. Now, I have fortunately got a bit of ground where I've got fruit, which I hope to get, but... I've got now three passion fruit vines because one didn't get any flowers. So I put another couple in. They said, you may have a male or a female. Put a, you know, go that way.
Right.
But I've got three. And now this year I've got flowers, but there's no bees around. It's not fruiting up?
Oh, Stan, that could possibly be the problem. But also it hasn't been a good season for them. That's why I thought it might have been you that had rung previously. We've had a lot of calls about passion fruit vines. Look, the only thing you can do is try to cross-pollinate the flowers if you're keen enough. But to be quite frank, Stan, it's getting a bit late in the season now.
Oh, dear.
Passion fruit really like the warm weather. But you know, if you've got a little bit of time on your hands, certainly go out and see if you can cross-pollinate. But bees are tricky little fellas. You don't always see them. It could possibly be that you might need to put a bit of fertiliser around.
I have put dynamic lifter around.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Was it pelleted form?
No, it was powder. I had to put it in the watering can.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Well, look, can I switch you over to a little bit of cow manure or even some sulphate of potash? Now, that stimulates flowering and fruiting.
Potash.
Sulphate of potash.
Sulphate.
Of potash. Okay. Okay.
I'll try that. I'll give it a go.
Give us a ring and let us know how it went.
Yep, best of luck with everything, Stan, for your passion fruit. Nothing like passion fruit, Judy. One of the most lovely tasting things around.
I saw them at the supermarket the other day. Have you seen them?
Not for a while.
Oh, no, just the cost.
Oh, I see. Well, that's a whole different game, isn't it?
Let's encourage gardening.
Yeah, absolutely. 4921 6216. A couple of moments left if you would like to catch up with Judy. G'day, Jenny at Burrell. You have a question on roses today.
Hello, Jenny.
Hi, I do.
Oh, excellent.
Hi, how are you? I just heard you talking about putting out lime for your lawn if it's going to rain. So you put dolomite on your roses as well?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Okay.
I know asking me that because, you know, roses, as you know, like an alkaline soil.
Yeah, that's why I just thought I'd better check.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're
I've
on
never
the
done
ball.
That before. Yeah, no. I've never done that before, but they certainly do need something. As
oh,
you
yes,
said.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of dolomite won't hurt. If you're worried, just water it in. But according to Mark, we won't have to worry. So if you've got anything in your shed, put it out now today, ready for tomorrow.
Okay, sounds excellent. Thank you so much.
Good luck with that, Jenny.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye. Bye.
I think I just need to add a disclaimer at this time, Judy, since you've said according to the weather people, the Bureau.
I'm just
reading their information.
Right.
Okay, so not actually jumping on top of that.
Okay, well, that's a pity because, you know, I thought we might have had some way to get you into trouble, Mark, for a change.
No, I'm just trying to just sort of squeeze out of getting into trouble like a slippery eel. Just trying to catch me, it's not going to work. We might see if we can get to those callers coming through, maybe 4921 6216. In the meanwhile, Judy, I know you have one more topic on your list here, so autumn annuals.
Autumn annuals. Pardon me, you know what they are, of course, Mark. Pansies, violas, and then you've got sweet peas, of course. We were talking about those earlier. Now, it's time now to give them an application of flourish before winter to encourage the growth. So they've got 4 weeks to do it before winter. Do it every week if you can. Flourish for flowering on your annuals that you've planted.
All right, so a nice thing to note as well. Possibly our last call today. Good afternoon, Nellie at Wall's End. Good afternoon, Nellie. What would you like to have a chat to Judy about?
Hi, Nellie.
Good afternoon. Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. And yourself?
I'm wonderful, thank you.
Good, good.
Just a quick question. I have a little gem magnolia tree that I've had in a pot for 19 years.
Yes.
And it sort of died off a little bit. The pot's not too small for it, but I think what I need to do is to take it out and repot it in the same pot. Will that bring it back? And I know I won't do that till spring.
No, look, honestly, Nellie, I think you need to go a bigger pot. They're quite big growing, tall growing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think replacing it back into that pot's not going to solve the problem. I think you need to get a bigger pot, or have you got some space in the garden?
Well, it's a tree. I lost my husband 19 years ago, and we bought that to put in a pot. And then just in case I move, that's why I left it in the pot.
Ah, right.
It comes with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just a larger pot, that'll be great. And new soil in it, new potting mix
around it.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, and leave that till spring, or wouldn't do it now, would I?
Oh, I think you can. We've got a bit of growing left. Okay. No, don't leave it till spring now if it looks like it's getting needing a bit of stimulation.
Okay. Too easy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nellie, for the call.
All right, best of luck. Judy, there were a couple we couldn't get to, but next week Scotty can look after those.
Oh, he can too.
He can. All right, as always, a pleasure, Judy, for an hour of Gardening Talkback. Thank you, and you enjoy your week of rest and relaxation away from here.
Oh, thank you, Mark.